music service, song service. I'm glad to have Safe Haven here. I'm not going to preach a sermon, but I do want to read you a scripture and just ask you a couple of questions here to get us started with worship, and also to get us ready to be prepared for Easter. If you remember, we was in John's Gospel, and we preached several other places, and I'm coming back to John's Gospel, getting us ready for Easter. And in John chapter 11, it's a familiar text about Lazarus passing away, and you know the song that says, 4 days late, and he's still on time. Jesus showed up, and he told Mary and Martha that they would see his glory if they believed. He'd see his glory. And then he went and he says, Father, I'm praying to you so that these around me will know. And then he calls Lazarus out of the grave and he tells him to unloose him from his death clothes. In other words, he's got a new life. It's something new taking place. And we pick this up in verse 45. It says, therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what Jesus had done, they believed in Jesus. But verse 46 says, but some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. Therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they convened a council, or they set up a committee, if you will, and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. This word sign here means that Jesus was performing a miracle that had something more significant than Lazarus just coming out of the grave. They recognized this. In other words, this man is doing something that's going to make people believe that he's got power over death, that he can change life. And they said, so what are we doing? And he goes on to say, if we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. Did you know that if we proclaimed, the more we proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ, the more people's going to believe in him? Now, I'm not saying they're going to believe you, but if you live for Jesus, proclaim the truth from his word, people will believe in him. It's in the power of the word of God. It's in the power of the Spirit of God, reconciling people through regeneration. And he says, more will believe in him. And look, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Here's what this is. It's a conspiracy to kill Jesus. And when we come into Easter, I think a lot of times we're thinking about holidays, we're thinking about being out of work, and we don't really get ready for Easter. But you know, the whole world is trying to do away with God. They're trying to push Christ out of everything. As believers in Jesus Christ who have known the power of the resurrection, we need to take a stand. So here it is. This Easter, there's going to be a lot of things going on. There's going to be a lot of things that will push Christ to the side. My question is, how will you react? Will you react as some of these people? What kind of Christian will you be? Will you be compromised, complacent, or confessing? And as they're singing this morning, and they're singing these truths about Christ and about God, and the Holy Spirit's lifting us up into the presence of God so we can worship. My question is, what are you going to do when you leave here? You know, are you going to be compromised? You know, these people were compromised. You know what they was worried about? Losing their position and their nation. They had power over the Jews. They were a puppet government set up by the Romans, but they was in charge. Hey, we're going to lose the people. And we're going to lose our position. You know, that's exactly what evil is going on now in Ukraine. Because people are worried about their retirement accounts and how they're invested in monies in Russia. And I'm not going to get political, but a lot of these things that we hear on TV is because people are compromised. It has nothing to do with well, we can't get involved, we can't do this. It's because they have been compromised. If we are compromised with the world and give in and say, well, I know the Bible says this, but you know, this is the 2022. You know, we got to love people. We got to get along. We got to do all. Hey, if you are compromised like they are, you're going to be an ineffective Christian. Hey, these were the religious leaders, and they was more worried about their position and what they look like in life than they were what God thought about them. I had a professor tell me one time, no matter what you're doing in sermon evaluation, the one thing you need to ask before you finish the sermon, if Jesus Christ was sitting on the back row, when you got done, would he give you a thumb up? Today, when we're singing, when Safe Haven's singing, and we're singing along, we lift it up, and you're like, I'm having a real good time. That ain't the question. Here's the question. Is God enjoying this? That's what we got to ask. Is God enjoying this? He done sent Safe Haven here. And I'm telling you now, they fired up. And they're going to get y'all fired up. But when we are raised up into the presence of God, we can't be compromised, worried about what time the service is going to be over, worried about who we're going to outrun to the cafe, worried about what we're doing tonight or what we're doing tomorrow. For the next few minutes, this is called the Sabbath rest. We get to rest in the presence and the holiness of God. And we can't be compromised. And you can't be complacent. You got a lot of definition for complacent. But here, what you see, they were complacent in that they were satisfied with their own achievements.
I got the law. We do it all. I can tell y'all what to do. Look at me. I'm good. I'm better than Brother Jesse. Look how I dress.
Complacency means you're happy sitting in the pew because you're satisfied the way your life is. Let me tell you a secret about salvation. It's about change. You want to enjoy being saved? Every morning when you wake up, remember this. You woke up because God still got a plan for you. And if you follow him, then you can be a confessing Christian. I want to fast forward over here to chapter 12, and it says in verse 10 that the chief priest planned to kill Lazarus. Why? Because on account of him, many Jews were going away and believing him. Let me ask you this. When you leave here tomorrow or today, and you get up in the morning and go to work, if it was against the law to profess Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, could you get arrested for it? Could you be put to death for saying, I serve a living Savior? I am who I am today because what he's done for me in the past. That is the question this morning. Let me pray as Safe Haven comes. Kind Father, this morning we come before you with praise, with thanksgiving. Lord, we come before you because you are the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You are the perfect sacrifice. Lord, you not only brought us forgiveness, but you also satisfied the wrath of God that we was all awaiting. Lord, we thank you that you removed our guilt, and we thank you that you took our punishment that we may be brought into the presence of our holy, holy, holy Creator. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation. Just to say, Lord, I love. For you understand, I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hands. Crowd slowly gathered. They were walking my Lord up, oh, Calvary's hill. So sad was the scene there. The birds hushed their singing.
like the lamb he was to his father's own way.
I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I for you understand. I want to be narrow, that great judgment won't be to touch all the nails in his feet and his I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be that great judgment morning to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his hands, to touch all the nail prints in his feet and his.
About Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
What a wonderful Savior.
What a wonderful Savior.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
How he saved my soul and he made me whole. Well, he took away my burden.
Yes, he took away my burden.
And he took away my sorrow.
Away my sorrow.
Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Well, I went to an altar.
I knelt down to pray.
I felt the Holy Spirit coming down my way.
Hey, then my soul began to tremble and the joy began to roll.
Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
What a wonderful Savior.
What a wonderful Savior.
Let me tell you about Jesus. I would save my soul when he made me whole. Well, he took away my burden.
Yes, he took away my
burden. And he took away my sorrow.
And he took away my sorrow.
Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul. Well, it's a wonderful feeling.
It's a wonderful time.
It's a wonderful
feeling.
It's a wonderful feeling. Just to ease your mind, see this joy you'll find.
Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
What a wonderful Savior.
Let me tell you about Jesus.
How he saved my soul when he made me whole.
When he took away my
burden.
And he took away my sorrow.
Let me tell you, brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Let me tell you,
brother, that's how Jesus saved my soul.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to be back at Hunt Springs Baptist Church. You know, we just love you people to death. I guess you can tell that we hang around an awful lot. Amen. But we are just tickled to death to be here. That's the Robson County term, tickled to death. But we are tickled to death. We came to tell you one thing this morning. Well, actually, two things. Number one, that God loves you. He's always loved you, and he'll always love you. Second thing we came to tell you is more of a question than it is anything else. Are you prepared? We live in some interesting times, Brother Weston. And if there's ever been a time when we as Christians need to make sure that we're prepared,
amen,
now's the time.
Yes.
And so we hope that through something that's said this morning or some song that's sung, that you will hear something that will draw you just a little bit closer to God's throne this morning. Is there anybody in the house besides the two associational missionaries that have never heard Safe Haven? Exactly. So this introduction is going to be really quick. Tim, Jerry, Mike, and Wayne. All right, let's sing.
That's good.
Is this road you're traveling dark, deserted or near? Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him. On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I stumbled on my way, but praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving for that land of perfect peace and endless day.
On this road for glory, road to glory. It's good to know this man named Jesus.
Amen.
You heard Pastor Thomas say a while ago that we need to take a stand. Well, you see, we need to take a stand because God has standards. If you live God's standards, you'll take a stand.
Amen.
Where will we be? Will we take a stand when it comes time to claim the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Will you stand that day? Will you live God's standards? I want Jerry to come. And we don't have a program. I tell people where we go. Y'all know that. We don't have a program. I'll hit whatever song that God leads me to do. I did it earlier.
You just did it twice.
Yeah, I did
it twice. You did it twice.
Yeah.
All right.
So... But we're on the road to glory. I'm glad to see smiling faces this morning. Amen. I'm glad to see y'all back in church. Hallelujah. I told folks we did a benefit singing for Pastor Jimmy Lambert. He's not wasn't doing too well. And we got in the church set up, and people started coming at 5:30. Then the place started getting packed. Then I had to start putting out extra seats. Then they started sitting out in the hall. That looked good. When people come back, have enough faith that Jesus carry them through, that's what I'm talking about. To me, that's more than a mustard seed.
Amen.
Amen. I want Jared to do this song. It's a brand new one.
Yeah. She was down. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands, and they turned to Jesus just to see what he'd say. But the Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away. They heard him say, "Let the sin-free cast the first stone." With tears on her face, all her sin was erased. She stood in a moment of grace. Now that his life was lost, he must pay for the crime. His past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose his fight. His time was running out fast. Then he took his last shot, said to Jesus, "Why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gates." And Jesus forgave all his sins. Was he raised? He died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace. Undeserved favor. Unspeakable joy. My soul found in it. Stuck in sin's mire, you need a miracle that only God can give. Oh, but Jesus passed by, and with this reply, he said, "I choose you, just live for me today." And Jesus forgave, and all my sin was erased. I stood in a moment of grace.
soul found an anchor.
Singing that song for fear of getting shot. Is that right?
She's packing right there.
Yeah.
We're going to do another. I think we might have did this last time we're here, but how many Americans we got? I'll just go in there. How many Americans we got in the house today?
Americans?
Yeah, I just asked Americans. Okay. Everybody should raise their hand. If not, let's...
do something about it.
How many Christians are here this morning? You're going to love this song. What is that?
They say we can't pray in Jesus' name. You have to be careful what you say. You might offend someone with different ways. Can't say the pledge or preach the truth, 'cause it's no longer absolute. That leaves me with just one thing to say. I'm a flag-waving American Christian, living in the land of the free. I believe in Jesus, I pledge allegiance under one God or me. I'm gonna stand with you for what is true. I'm gonna live out loud. I'm American and I'm Christian and I'm He's the one who gives us liberty. When it comes to truth and right, I will stand my ground and fight. God is God and that's enough for me. It's absolutely true to say Jesus is the only way. Through him I have life and I am free. Living in the land of the free, I believe in Jesus. I pledge allegiance under one God or me. I'm gonna stand with you for what is true. I'm gonna live out loud. I'm American and I'm Christian and I'm proud. Yes, I'm a flag.
In a hallowed place, glory began to fall. I left the pew, found life anew, an old-fashioned altar call.
From where I sat, that altar seemed 100 miles away. But I'm so glad I made the move and stepped out anyway. 'Cause something got a hold of me as I walked down the aisle. Jesus saved my soul and I just shouted for him. bells and old-fashioned old call when his spirit working down. Hallelujah's roll when he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Sin make grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. I left the pew, found life in you, that old-fashioned altar call.
It was an
old-fashioned altar call when the Spirit of the Lord came down. Hallelujah, roll, he blessed my soul and turned my whole life around. Sin made grace in a hallowed place, glory began to fall. I left the pew, found life in you, that old-fashioned altar call. I left the pew, found life in you, at that old-fashioned
You know how it is to sing on Sunday morning. A lot different than it is on singing on Sunday night. Now, it's not supposed to be if you vocalize like you're supposed to. But I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of us up here this morning struggling. And I'm one of them.
I feel like I need to sing this for somebody this morning. I don't know where your hope lies, but mine lies in Jesus. Tossed by the billows in life's troubled sea, without an anchor, there was no hope for me. Forever drifting, forever lost to a new hope. On an old rugged cross, I cast my
anchor of hope into the sea of grace.
I am
moved by sin's waters no more,
and I'll be trusting. Stand upon his word. Without this anchor, I'm like all the rest. Drift on the water, just a failure at best. But since I trusted in his power to save, you know the winds may be blowing, oh, but I'm here to stay. I cast my anchor of hope
into the sea.
Let me talk for you. Let me talk to you just a moment. We're talking about hope, we're talking about faith, and we're talking about love this morning. Standards of living, God's way. He wants hope, faith, and love. Sometimes I feel, Pastor, people are coming to pews and leaving. They don't have the love, they don't have the hope, they don't have the faith. The love is, and they're hurting inside. And the reason, because they're hurting inside, they can't share love with others. I want to talk to you this morning about love real quick. This Pharisee brought Jesus into his home. Now see, back then when they brought him into homes, they did different things to show you that they loved you. They brought Jesus, but see, they didn't really love Jesus. They were checking. This Pharisee was just checking Jesus out. He really didn't love him. Because see, back then they'd have your slippers, they'd have you take your slippers off at the door, and they'd wash your feet. Isn't that right, Pastor? Then when you come in, they'd give you a hug and a kiss on the cheek. That's how they showed you they loved you. But this Pharisee didn't do that. He brought you right straight in, took his slippers off, come straight into the table, getting ready to feed him. And all of a sudden, this young lady come out of the blue, walked around, kneeled at his feet, at Jesus' feet, and washed his feet with her tears. And then not only that, took her hair and wiped them. Yeah. Wiped them. Folks, there's different ways that we show love, but through our worship and praise. That was her worship and praise that day. She was showing Jesus that she truly loved him. Through our praise and worship, we show him that we love him. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Amen.
I want to do one more song.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Thank goodness. He bled and died. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. I know.
Real quick. Do you really believe he lives this morning? Do you really believe he lives this morning? I want you to stand. If you can, if you're able to stand, I want you to stand with us. And I want you to sing that chorus like you believe he lives this morning. Can you do that?
Because he
Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you? I'm going to start this. I think God's just leading me this way, brother. So if you go with me, I'm going to talk to you for a minute. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Thomas. Well, how do we learn about the standards of God's living? Through his word. We come to church, preacher preaches the word. And I do believe you got a great pastor here in Hunt Springs. If I didn't get any shout, I should have got a shout there. Amen. He loves you. I believe he lives the standards. Today, people are hurting in church. And they can't live their life the way they want to live it. For the Lord. Because they're really unhappy. They'll put on a fake smile. Their walk just ain't quite right the way it should be. I'm telling you, folks, if you're looking at the world today, God is coming back for his church sooner than people think. The key thing is we don't know. It's like a thief in the night. He's coming. And I still got people, Pastor Thomas, going, well, I'll wait until about, I think, when he's going to come. Then I'll give my life to him. People are playing Russian roulette with God. They're pulling the trigger on that gun. That one bullet's finally going to come around. And they're going to die without Jesus Christ. But there's people hurting this morning. There's people that need a touch, a healing in their gut, in their body. Their minds, their family, the work. They need a touch this morning. And I wonder why people don't come to the altar. Well, you said it a while ago. If you heard the pastor talk. People don't want other people to see them come to the altar because, well, they don't need to know my problems. You may not even have a problem. You may just want to come up and tell Jesus you love him. Amen. And if they're worried about what you're doing, they need to be worried about what they're doing. This morning, this altar's open. It's wide open. If you can look up here, it's wide open. There's nobody stopping you but you. Come and talk to Jesus. No matter what it is. And I'll pray with you. I told folks the other night, I'll stay here all night if we have to. I'll pray with you. But don't be afraid of what other people think. Because I promise you, when God comes back, it's going to be between you and him. It's not going to be between you and that person. So would you come? Would you come to this altar? Would you come? I feel like somebody needs to come this morning. Somebody needs to let it go. I've seen the tears come down. I know people. Somebody needs a touch. Would you come? Amen. Amen. Amen, Brother Thomas. Thank you.
Miss Diane said it's okay to list Tony on the prayer list now. Her son, he's been diagnosed with cancer, and it's in his lymph nodes, and they're going to start, y'all can be seated, and they're going to start chemo next week, and just haven't been mentioning that much, so I'm going to ask that you continue to pray for Tony and pray for Miss Diane and pray for all these others that are sick also. And I'm not going to preach a long sermon here, and because I said I wasn't, but I just want you to realize something. When they were singing this morning, and I know that's Mona and Jesse, a bunch of them, favorite song, Cooling Water. They love that. But, you know, pastor friend of mine up in Virginia, we've been praying together since 2007. And this morning when he texts me every Sunday morning at 3:37. And he says that, you know, he's just praying for all the spiritual thirsty people in the world because they don't know what they're thirsty for. And it's that water. It's that quenching water of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this text that we was looking at, as we get ready, you know, as you leave here, you need to let people know what Jesus done for you. Our world, when you think about compromise, our world thinks that everybody would just be better if you didn't hold them guilty. I mean, that's what's going on. And if you look at our young people, they believe that. If you just weren't holding them guilty, then they could live a better life. But let me say this about the woman that was caught in adultery. And about right here. Here's what Caiaphas says. He says, nor do you take into account that is expedient for you that one man die for the people, that the whole nation not perish. Matt Chandler says that you ought to circle that word "for" in your Bible. See, it means Jesus died on your behalf. Jesus died on my behalf. And we say a lot of things like, I just asked Jesus into my heart, or Jesus saved me, or Jesus forgive me. But there's two things here, and you don't have to remember these words, but I want you to remember what the concept is. Expiation means the removing or covering of sin. That means that our sins have been dealt with by the shed blood of Christ. In the Old Testament, we see this all the way back to the Passover. The next 11 chapters in John is dealing with the Passover leading up to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. When God told the people to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and when the death angel saw it, he would pass over them. In other words, they're not guilty anymore. But now, hear me on this. Propitiation. Jesus' blood was shed and is sufficient for the whole world. But it's only efficient if you believe in him and you realize that my God is a holy, mighty God, and he cannot forgive our guilt unless somebody takes the punishment. That's what propitiation means. Our guilt is gone by the shed blood of Christ, but he died in our place and absorbed all the wrath of God. Paul says in Romans that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness. The woman that was caught in adultery, straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No, Lord." And Jesus says, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now on, sin no more." Salvation means that Jesus is your Savior, but he's also your Lord. He died to give you a brand new life. And if it cost him his life to purchase that forgiveness for you, and you believe in him, then you should submit to him to control that new life any way he wants you to go, or whatever he wants you to give up, or whatever he wants you to do new. You can't be complacent. You can't compromise. You can just confess. Jesus washed me white as snow with his blood, but he also took the whooping that I deserved and died in my place. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That's because our future is in the hand of a holy and mighty God. Let us pray. If you hear one more time before we leave, I know most of you, and I know most of you are saved. But if you're here and there's any doubt in your mind where you'd spend eternity, if you stop breathing right now, or if Jesus returned and blowed that trumpet when you walk out that door, it's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm guilty of not living life your way. I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus come and lived on this earth the life that I should have lived. He died the death I deserve. In my place, he was buried, and 3 days later, you raised him that I might know that he has the power to forgive and to give me a new life. Lord, forgive me. Take control of my life. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. 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 Kind Father, we come before you now, and I just thank you. I thank you for the service today. I thank you that you gathered us together. Lord, each person here, I want them to know that it was by your calling, your sovereignty, that we gathered together. And if they hadn't obeyed and been here, our worship would have been less than what we've experienced. It's because your Spirit dwells in us all. Lord, I pray for each of us as we leave here that we will share this week that you loved us, you died for us, you forgave us, you gave us a new life. And that life is what satisfies. Lord, I pray that we'll share that with our family members. Lord, that we wouldn't give up on praying, not only for those that's sick, but those who are lost. Those who are straying, those who have, Lord, drifted away. That, Lord, we would call them back, that the Holy Spirit would convict them, they'd confess. And Lord, you'd cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Lord, you'd draw us back together as the church. Lord, I pray for safe haven, and I lift them up to you this morning as they go forth, Lord. We're sending them out into a dark world to take the gospel through song and through message, Lord. That they're our missionaries as we send them out from here, Lord. And we thank you that we can be part of their ministry as they leave here. Lord, we just lift Brother Barry and Miss Lynette up to you, Lord, and pray that as they are working to unite the churches together in our association and lift us up, and Lord, that we can serve you, that Lord, you'll be with them. I know that it's difficult days and tiresome days ahead for them. Lord, I know that there's ones here. Lord, their jobs, their health, their family. Lord, it's so much going on, the uncertainty of what's going to happen with retirement plans, what's going to happen with gas prices and light bills. And Lord, some days we just don't know how we're going to make it to the end of the week. But we know that, God, you're still in charge. And Lord, I pray that we would comfort one another with them words, that we would check on one another and pray for each other. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank y'all for coming.